You're listening to Talk Soap. The first rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap. So lather up as the hosts catch you up in the week of Daytime Dish. Now, here are your hosts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our new edition of Talk Soap. It's been a while since the gang has been together, but if you missed our special 3-year, 300 show, 3 million download special with everybody who's been involved with the On Air with Doug umbrella, please go to up here. You're listening right now on here. So go up to the search bar, type in On Air with Douglas, and go check that out. We had the whole gang, all the hosts from the last 3 years that were available to join us. So go and listen to that. It was a lot of fun. With us today is Kelly Beth. Welcome, Kelly Beth.
Hey. How's it going?
It's good to hear your voice.
I know. It's so good to hear you, too.
I missed you. And speaking of missing, Claudia, we got to get her well. We got to get her feeling good and get her on the air at least once soon because I miss her as well. So we're sending love to you. Mwah. There you go. Then also joining us is Michael. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I've missed all of you so much. I'm so excited for today.
I know. I
hope. It's been so long.
I know it has been way too long. And I know we did our special show the other day or last week, but we weren't able to dish daytime and so much has happened. So I thought I had to get the gang together. And so also joining us, and I'm not sure if he's back on the air with me or not, but David, everybody should know David from The Spilled Tea and with Talk Soap Season 2. David, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, girl. Hey.
What's up, girl?
Not much, honey. I had to bring you on because we got to talk some Maya stuff in a little bit.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus.
All right. Will you hang on
to
your girl?
I have this thing in Spanish. I invented. Ay, Dios Santo María.
Okay. Someone tweet me the translation of that. Okay. Well, so much has happened. Talk Soap hasn't been on for a month because we were off for a little while. But let me just do a rundown real quick here, okay? So Rebecca Buttig has joined the Casa General Hospital as Hayden, who many of you know from One Life to Live, played Greenlee. And I'll talk to you about her character on Greenlee, I mean, as Greenlee as well. But now she's playing the presumed as Jake, aka Jason's wife, who came out of nowhere. We find out today that Rick's got Hayden, aka Rebecca, doing the deed. So there's some stuff going on there. But, you know, where has she been all the time? Who is she really? And just as Elizabeth and Jake were heading upstairs, knock, knock, who's there? Hayden. Hayden who? Well, that's who we're going to find out. So that's going to be really exciting to see. Franco and Nina are working to get themselves free from their, quote, faking incidents in the mental ward. Silas has been by Ava's bedside, who everyone thinks is dead, but she has cancer and she's hidden. And the other day, Ava asked Silas to kill her. Meanwhile, Tracy and Lulu are trying to track down Luke's sister, Patricia, and finds her daughter instead, Valerie Spencer, who's half, you know, biracial, black and white. And as Tracy and Lulu are desperate to learn what happened to Luke as a child, Luke is actually behind the door with a gun, so Valerie won't spill the beans. Meanwhile, over in Los Angeles on The Bold and the Beautiful, the biggest and best kept secret on daytime for a while was revealed when Maya's sister, Nicole, came to town with a secret on Maya, and it was revealed on Friday's episode that the reason Maya left town so many years ago and the family disowned her is because Nicole found out that Maya is really Myron, her brother. Bombshell. Also, Brooke has fallen off the wagon again. She's, Nikki Newman's twin sister right now. And she leans on Deacon, who is leaning on Quinn, but their relationship is heating up. But trouble's in paradise because I'm sure Deacon and Brooke are going to be getting it on. And then lastly, in Genoa City, there is a clusterfuck of madness going on there. We got so much to talk about. Kelly's presumed dead over somewhere in the Middle East. What the fuck was that about? We saw her autopsy report today and saw her picture, her lying there. Adam is getting closer to pulling Chelsea's heart into his. He's so close. That's going to be, the reveal is going to happen pretty soon. Neil confessed to being the one that pulled the wheel that Nikki was driving the car and ran over Christine, who later lost her baby. This cabin story, I still know what you did last Valentine's Day, is lingering on as there's even now we know there's a documentary that Austin was working on to try to do an expose on the Newmans versus the Abbotts. Now the suspect list grows with now Stitch involved and they're rewriting Stitch's history as this possibly bad guy. Now they're bringing in Sharon and it's just a clusterfuck. So with that being said, let's get right into it. And I want, since David's with us today, let's start with the bombshell about Maya being transgender. This is a topic that holds close to David because David wrote a trilogy book that's out now, and I'll let him plug that in a minute, about a transgender girl. So what are your thoughts on this, David?
So I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but when I was writing my book, I didn't want it to be a cartoon reveal. I wanted it to be this girl. She's living her life. She has people that accept her for who she is. And you see why she wouldn't want to tell somebody that she's a trans woman. And so when she finally does, you understand why it took her so long. And it's part of the story. This Maya thing, it feels like the reveal in Soap Dish with Sally Field when they found out that Kathy Moriarty was really a dude, because Maya's been an established character for years, ever since Batting Light went off the air, her and Lawrence went right to Bold and Beautiful. So I think it's cool that they made a character that we've all seen, a trans woman, but the way it came out felt very grabbing for ratings, looking to get the LGBT awards. It just felt too campy. And this show is known for doing camp. So I think that it's an important story, but the wrong show. I don't think Bradley will handle it the way it should be handled. I'm not saying treat it with kid gloves. But had she said, you know, I found out that you're a trans woman and you were at one point my brother, but now you're my sister, I would have accepted it better. But calling Maya's life today a lifestyle was so insulting. And and the part that gets me is that Bradley Bell did an interview saying, oh, I'm working with GLAAD to write this story. GLAAD should be slapped because they're not reading the script. I was pretty shocked that that made the air. So that was my feeling about it. I won't watch the show based on that one scene just because it just didn't feel good. It didn't feel good at all.
Yeah, today's episode, which, well, for many of you, many listeners, I have already said that I haven't watched Bold and the Beautiful in over a year. I quit last February. But because of this, and I kept seeing the promos and everybody online talking on Friday about this and spoiled the secret, even though I didn't even watch the show, I was like, oh, no, I want to see how they handle this. Because, of course, as all people were just shocked about this, and I had a lot of questions. Well, today, episode, for those who have seen it or haven't seen it, Maya has a lot of dialogue and talks a lot about what happened and all the, you know, Nicole asked a lot of questions about how it happened. Where's your dick at? You know, what about the baby you had? Which that was a big thing because we all knew she had a baby. She explained that. So that kind of helped, you know, cushion Mike. Along with what you're saying, David, it kind of cushioned my fear about going into this territory. And as we talked about before on the show, and I've talked about it, especially with how the way that the other Bell show, aka Chuck Pratt's disaster, he and the previous writers have taken Sharon's bipolar and made it a cartoon, which I don't appreciate being non-bipolar. So yeah. I don't like the fact that they're not. I can't really go too much into Maya because we've only seen two episodes with the story. So I'm anxious to see how Rick's going to react, the family's going to react. I want to see, you know, if he's going to be loving and tolerable or if it's going to be a anti thing. I mean, I'm anxious to see how that goes. But with the bipolar, every time Sharon makes a mistake, oh, it's bipolar. I'm being told that all the time in my own life. Oh, Doug must be having a bipolar moment. So I just don't like the way that they do that.
Well, you're just a mess, though. But with Sharon, they do bad stuff on the show, and they'll do really horrible stuff, and they'll be like, let's blame it on Sharon. She's bipolar, right?
Exactly.
And I just, the whole thing with Maya, and I'm not trying to hog this, the airtime, sorry. The whole thing with Maya that I don't really like is the way that they revealed it was just so, like, it just felt so grabbing for ratings. And I wish that, I really hope if the story does progress, we find out that her other boyfriend, what is Lawrence St. Victor's name on the show?
Carter.
Carter.
What's that?
Carter.
Now, has Carter known this whole time?
He
said today he said, you know, everybody knows that Maya did jail time and that her daughter died, and you know, like, her past is, you know, like an open book or something like that. So I don't even think he knows.
Oh.
I don't think Carter knows.
Didn't they come on the show together? I don't
they
know.
They did. Within weeks of each other, I believe.
Yeah, so I don't know. I kind of hope that they... Michael made a good point because we brought this up on our show. And thank God for this boy, because I was really hating on Bold and Beautiful. But he said, you know, when she says, you're my brother, that really tells us where she's at in this whole thing. And I said, God, I never thought of it like that. Yeah. And another point he made was when the disaster of a character, Zoe, on All My Children came on, they told Jill Larson that Opal was going to be very homophobic. And she said, no, I don't think Opal would be. And I guess the writer said, well, that's exactly why we want you to go along with it. If you can go from being homophobic to changing and accepting, then I'm sure others will. So I like that Michael brought that up. So.
Exactly.
Hopefully,
and I'll get to
have somebody like that on Bold and the Beautiful, like Eric, you know, like
exactly. Yeah. I am anxious. I mean, they definitely are. I've seen it on Twitter, and a lot of people are tuning in, which of course is great, you know, for ratings. This could push them to number one, knockout. It'd be nice to have young wrestlers get knocked off their saddle for once, because we'll get to Genoa City in a minute, but I'm just saying that's some crazy town over there. But anyway, I haven't watched Younger Restless, so I mean, I'm sorry, Bold and Beautiful. So, and Michael doesn't, and our other one, Claudia, who's hasn't been on for a while, she doesn't either. So Kelly usually gets 5 seconds at the end of the show to talk about Bold and the Beautiful. So this time, now that I'm watching again, I'll have more time on it. So Kelly, since you've been a long time viewer and you've shared every week with what's going on, what are your thoughts about the Maya revelation on Friday and today?
It, like, I've told you all before the show, like, there's a lot of times, you know, when we watch these shows forever and, you know, you almost feel like you can kind of predict, like, what's going to happen and who's going to do what and, you know, this, that, and the other. But with this, like, I never saw it coming. Like, couldn't see it for a mile away. And my first instinct, because, like, Nicole being there has knocked Maya off her little cocky pedestal. I don't know that there was any pun intended there, but anyway, whatever, good wordplay on my part, high five.
Good for you.
Oh, I just got it.
thank you. No, but, I mean, like, you know, she was walking around like her who didn't smell bad, and now all of a sudden here's her sister knowing this secret, and so, you know, she's not, you know, strutting her stuff so much anymore, and, you know, she's questioning Rick, like, why are you treating the girl so bad, and blah, blah, blah. I'm ready to see Rick be alone and miserable, because he's treated everyone on that show like complete shit, and so it's like, you know, he it's like today he's, you know, digging on Ivy's jewelry line, and I don't know anything about jewelry or how you design it. I wear earrings. That's all I wear. So obviously I'm not a jewelry, you know, connoisseur or whatever, But I mean, like, you know, he's cutting on her. He's talking about the designs. And last time they talked about it, he's not a designer. He's a business guy. And that's why he's so good at being CEO, because he's good with numbers. But he's cutting on everybody's ideas, and everybody, you know, won't let Allie do her shoe line, treats Allie like she's a servant, had her rubbing my feet a couple weeks ago. And it made my blood boil, because I was like, Allie, what are you doing? But I mean, like, I feel like, you know, when he finds out that, you know, Maya at one point was a man, and today, you know, they had a little, like, quote unquote design team meeting. And in the design team, he's like, I want everybody to think about Maya when they're designing their, you know, their clothes or their jewelry or their shoes. And think about how, you know, a necklace would fall on her, you know, on her neck, and how the clothes would, and think about her femininity. And I seriously busted out laughing, because I was like, she had a pecker once. She did. Even though she might have been a child, she had one. And you're talking about how feminine she is. And I think it's hilarious, because when you realize that, I mean, like, you know, I'm not saying that it's the appropriate reaction, but I feel like, because he's been so, like, just like a dick with everybody, I feel like it's going to embarrass him that this was the case and he had no idea. So I'm ready to see the fall of Rick, because he irritates the shit out of me. So
all right. Well,
I'm just totally gonna cut you off. I don't understand the process of
I'm used to it.
I know, right? It's only because I love you. But I mean, like, I don't understand the whole process of, you know, like, sex changing and all that stuff, because I've always been a girl and I like it that way. But it, that doesn't change like your bone structure, does it? Because, like, she's got some childbearing hips that Maya does, and I didn't think that, you know, like, having a sex change would alter that part of, I don't know, maybe it's just my ignorance about the whole topic. And how I just don't understand it, but
that's okay. I mean, this topic can go on for a very long time, because you're not aware of it. You know, gay men are a little bit more aware of it than women are, but you know, there are, you know, in this instance, even though this is a television show, Carla, I think her name's Carla, that plays her, Carla. Thank you, Carla Mosley. Carla's body is very, very, very beautiful. She's got a great body, but also there are men who have those type of bodies as well. And even though Maya's body is beautiful, there are also men who are transgendered who aren't the perfect, beautiful body. They're also heavy, or they're, you know, they're just different body proportions. And of course, then you have procedures done as well. People do go to very extremes to become the woman that they feel that they are inside. So, I mean, this can be a whole different topic, but I just want to say that, you know, it's a show, but I just hope that the topic itself is written and played out good, or it could cause a lot of backlash. But it has made a lot of noise in the industry. Entertainment Tonight, E News, the Daily Beast, the New York Times. I mean, this storyline has hit a lot of big outlets. So I'm anxious to see what is going to go ahead in the future with this. Michael, I know you don't watch it, but do you have any input on this?
I'm curious. I kind of want to give it a shot, just to kind of see what it is. I was saying the other day that, you know, and we've talked about this on the show before too, that, you know, NBC and ABC both have had prominent gay storylines, you know, whether they're always prominent or not. The past few years they've been there, and CBS has been lacking. So I thought, even in theory, kudos to CBS for tackling it and making it a transgender storyline instead of gay, lesbian, or bisexual. So, I mean, I do recognize that, and I think that's a great thing. Not being, you know, someone who watches the show, it's a little harder to comment on it. So I think it started out well. I'd be curious to kind of see where it goes from here, and maybe I'll watch a couple episodes just to kind of see, too.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see next week when we join back to see, you know, what happens this week. Because in the promo, I went to go track down the promo for this week to see if she was in it. And it has Rick sitting down and she's sitting down and she says, Rick, I've got something to tell you. Well, that could be anything. I mean, it could be anything. But the promo is geared to maybe she's going to tell. I hope it's not like the Jason reveal that's taking forever and the Adam Gabriel reveal that's taking forever. Let's get on with it so we can tackle the issue at hand about tolerance and love and respect and acceptance. That's what I hope Rowdy Bell puts into the script. If not, I'm out. Okay. Any other comments on that before we move on?
I just have one last comment on it.
No problem.
I also don't like that she's taken this long to talk about it. And this is one of the topics that I put in my book. The longer she kept the secret, it almost felt like she was ashamed of herself. Mm-hmm. And the process of being a trans woman isn't, it's morning. I think I'm going to be a girl today. You know, it's like a thought process, years in the making. Mm-hmm. And then to physically do it, that's even more years. So Maya went through this whole process and she kept it from people. I would like to know why and why she wasn't forthcoming before. I think that's the bigger issue rather than the shock value. And to be honest, The Bold and the Beautiful is the number one show in 30 countries except the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Why make it gimmicky?
Exactly.
Can they do one show, one storyline where it's more loving and honest rather than, you know, attaching her to the jerk who is getting his comeuppance? Well, guess what? Your girlfriend's a man, too. You know, like I would rather her and Carter be in the relationship and then he finds out that she used to be a man and now he's got to deal with, you know, I've been with this woman for 10 years. Do I stay with her? What do I do? Mm-hmm. I would rather that story than attaching her to somebody who's the most hated person on the show.
Yeah. And to add to that, when they hired Carla to play Maya I don't even know how many years ago it was.
For transgender, no.
That was just something that they created. I mean, if you look across the board, there's really nobody on there to make that storyline. Because all the other characters are already existing family members of other people, you know. So they didn't. So when they decided to do it, we didn't have any we didn't know it was going to happen. So now, I would suggest anybody and you, David, to at least watch today's episode. A lot was said, a dialogue that I think may give you a little different view on the writing and what they're going to do with this. I think that's just my suggestion, and. Real quick, Kelly, did you see today's episode?
I did.
Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about? The conversation between Nicole and Maya about her past of the transition and the questions that she was asked, etc.
I remember most of it.
Did you pay attention, girl? At one point. Of course, probably the most important scene I'm talking about.
Of course, the one thing that I didn't pay attention, or the one thing that was on when I was like running the water earlier, I don't know. I remember, you know, like most of the conversation from yesterday. And I mean, like, it seems to me, if I was going to go to the extremes that it would take, you know, to make that transition and to do, you know, to do all these things. And apparently have it done so well that even two highly intelligent men can't tell the difference in you and a real, like, naturally born woman. Well, physically anyway. You know, but she's like, she's crying and she's like, she was standing in like a really defensive pose. So it looks like, kind of like what Dave was saying, like almost like she's embarrassed about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if I was gonna make the effort to do that, you know, I need to make the effort to lose about 50 pounds. You know, if I'm gonna work hard and I'm gonna do the things I need to do to make that happen and make that transition, I'm gonna be proud of the end result. You know, so I mean, like, I don't. And again, like, you know, it's another one of those things that, I mean, obviously I don't understand it because it's not anything that I've ever been faced with. So I don't understand all the logistics and whatever, but yeah. I mean, like it has to be, you know, a long, you know, lengthy, tedious process to, you know, to make all these changes and do all these things.
Yeah.
Because, but, I mean, like, with Carla Moseley being the end result, she's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
since they tamed that hair down. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I know, right? But I mean, like, it seems like, you know, she was just really defensive about the whole thing and whatever. So I don't know. And you know as well as I do that whole, like, her talk, sitting down with Rick and being like, there's something I need to tell you, is going to end up her being like, you know, Nicole's not really in school right now. She had to drop out.
It's not going to be that quick.
You know, like, I had a good idea for dinner, but I decided we might need to go out instead. You know, like, oh, it's going to be something, like, super ridiculous when we're, like, so excited for her to finally tell him the truth. Because that's all he preached about today. Like, I did notice, you know, that's all he preached about, talking to Katie yesterday and talking to everybody in the office today and, you know, talking to Nicole even. She's so honest and she's everything I've ever wanted and blah, blah, blah.
That's build
never
up.
Never lies to me. Exactly.
Yeah, that's dramatic.
You know, she. I can't wait to see his dramatic, just like, explosion. Suck it, Rick. Get over it. You suck at life. You're a douche. Here's your reward. Karma's a bitch, right?
It is. Karma is a bitch. I haven't watched it for a year, so I know I've read and I've listened to you over the year. You know, Rick the Dick. But let me just say one thing to you before we move on is that a transgendered male or female, you are born and you are born and you feel you're in the wrong body and you feel like you need to change that in order to be yourself. I think that's a short summary of how to express that to just kind of educate you on the topic. I'm not an expert because I was born gay and I'm gay and I'm a man. I wasn't born in the wrong body, but I wish I had a different body, but that's a different topic. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on so we can get these. Let's get Michael to talk before he starts pacing back and forth, bored to death. So let's now, David. Let me ask real quick because I haven't girl talked with you. I don't know, what shows do you watch? Do you watch Young and the Restless still?
That's my only show. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you don't watch General Hospital anymore? You gave that up, right?
Ugh, gave up.
Okay. Well. But just hang tight, because they're Kelly and Michael are both like a day to a week behind on General Hospital. So we're going to do it. We'll do a quick recap. But I've got some questions for Michael because, and maybe you too, because I think you watched One Life to Live, didn't you, David?
On and off for about 10 or 20 years. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're going to switch over to that. Like I said in the beginning, I kind of gave a few things out. But let me, I'm moving on. I'm trying to get to my links here. So they hired a new Spencer. So as I was saying that, you know, we all know Luke Spencer, where everybody thought that there was a double. This will give you some education, just so you know, David. But anyway, for a year, or it seems like a decade, there's been two Lukes, three Lukes running around town. Well, we come to find out that he's got a multiple personality. It's sort of like what they did, DID, with Kelly Sullivan's character. Yeah, well, and Vicky, yes, as well, on One Life to Live. But so now... It all stemmed down to a house, this particular house, and the house he grew up in. So they went to go track down his sister Patricia, and Michael, you can help me with this part in a minute. And then Friday they go and they find Patricia's house and opens the door.
Back up.
Okay.
I thought Bobby and Luke were the only two.
No, there was a hidden one, and
oh,
we didn't know about. or I don't know. Okay. I'll have to ask. I'll ask Michael in a minute. Exactly. I thought Bobby and Luke were just the only brother and sister. But this is going to take the storyline into a whole new direction. And you know, Ron and them are, you know, always trying to be creative. So Tracy and Lulu are trying desperately to find this woman, their aunt, that they didn't know it really existed. And they find an address through somebody helped them find an address. And they get there, and Valerie opens the door, and she's a beautiful biracial woman, very gorgeous. Her name is Valerie Spencer, and her mom is this Patricia chick. And Lulu Lulu and Tracy are like asking her, you know, please, if you can have any information, we're trying. Lulu was saying, my dad is in a lot of trouble. We need to try to help find out how to help him. But it's something about his past and the house he grew up in. And as Valerie's talking, we see Luke behind the door with the gun. So she's like, you know, scattered, can't say anything, you know, really. And then as they leave, and she said that her mom died, and her mom spoke nothing about another family, didn't even know that there was a brothers and sister, which is, you know, Luke and Bobby. And so when they start to leave, they hear a noise, and they're like, are you sure you're not by yourself? And so that ended today where Luke threatening his niece pretty much, you know, don't you dare say a word and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, what I want to ask you, Michael, is since you've watched it longer, has Patricia ever been mentioned on the show prior to this storyline now?
She has, very briefly, in the late 70s when Bobby and Luke joined the show, they talked about her. So I don't know if she was actually ever shown or if it was one of those characters like, oh, our sister Patricia. And so whether she was on the show and then just got dropped, or whether she was only mentioned and never appeared, she is real. And so I thought that was kind of a cool thing, because for someone who's been such a legacy character and someone who's been on for decades, you can't, even though you might have a great idea, you can't just make something up. So I thought it was really cool how they dug back into that past and were like, oh yeah, what about her? Yeah, let's do this. So so they did not make that up.
Yeah. Okay. And now I'm going to ask you, since you've, you know, the tagline is here that you've watched longer. Now, what do you possibly think is so traumatic that happened in that house? Because you've already seen the episodes up until recently where Luke was in that, the childhood house where he was, you know, talking to himself, where Luke was playing double and everything. You know, what could possibly be so traumatic that would cause him to turn into this, you know, evolve into this double identity, you know, issue? It seems like it's so tragic. What are your thoughts on it?
I don't know. I when I first heard the rumor that it was going to be a DID storyline, at first I was upset because I did not want to see that. I thought there was a better way to explain it. But, you know, I tried to just, you know, let go and let God and trust. And usually I'm surprised. And I started to think about it. And I've watched since 1996. Took a few years off every, you know, through college and here and there. But I always remember we knew that Bobby and Luke had a bad childhood. But I don't think they ever went into detail. I don't remember anything. And so here I am thinking, like, he's been on for like 40 years. Or, okay, maybe not that old. But, you know, he's been on since the 70s. And we still don't know. So on one hand, you know, like, it's about time. Like, so for us to not know for so long, it's got to be something big. And I love the fact that they're going back and finally tackling it. And I know a lot of the people that I follow on Twitter are not fans of Luke or Sonny, and they want nothing to do with either of the characters. So they have a lot of hate towards the story, and that's fine. But it's been one that I've really been enjoying, especially since they're taking it back to Patricia. But that's the other thing. If you all had this awful childhood together, what could be so bad that would make you, like, abandon your family when they're all you have to cling to and you just leave? So I don't know. I'm looking forward to having some answers and probably more questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it looks like on April 1st, we're going to get a lot of answers. It says here at michaelfairmansoaps.com, April 1st, the long-running ABC daytime drama series will turn 52 with an intriguing episode for its loyal audience. So what's on the docket, according to Michael Logan at TV Insider? Plenty, starting with the homage to the very first episode of the series, which featured Dr. Steve Hardy, Nurse Jessie Brewer, and the intern Phil Brewer. Of course, those roles were made famous by the legendary John Berardino, Emily McLaughlin, and Roy Fiennes, I think that's how you say it. But now, in a twist, G.H. takes a trip back in time where the roles will be played by the current G.H. cast members, Jason Thompson, who plays Patrick, Rebecca Herbst, who plays Elizabeth, and Ryan Carnes, who plays Lucas Jones. Yummy. Thompson told TV Insider that it was an honor to get to be able to be in the shoes of the previous people. And it goes on into, you know, they're doing the preps, I mean, the props and the sets, and everything's going to be all like back in 1963. It says, and that's not all, folks, finally we have a promise, some answers from GH head writer Ron Carvalti on what caused Luke, Anthony Geary, to develop this alternate personality that has been previously known as Fluke. According to Michael Logan, quote, it's a shocker. Make that a double shocker and not to be missed. So we find out on April 1st, which is just next week. So yeah. Interesting to see what's going on with that. And it's going to be nice that they're going to do a throwback to the very first episode. And I can't believe it's been 52 years. Another thing happened yesterday, which you guys haven't seen, is that Rebecca Buttig, who I knew as Michelle from Guiding Light, has, and then she was Greenlee on One Life to Live, and now she's made her way to
All My Children.
All My Children, thank you. Sorry, I get those two shows confused sometimes. But yeah, she played Greenlee, and then now she's headed over to Port Charles as Hayden, Jake's wife. Well, we find out today, well, that was how it ended on Friday, but then today's show, we find out that Rick is doing this. So we don't know his whole plan yet because they were talking, but you should have seen it was so sad sort of, because Liz and Jakeson has become very close and intimate, and then they were on their way upstairs to go do and hello, hi, oh my god, Jake, you're alive. And then Liz goes off saying, why haven't you been looking for him all this time? Where's the missing persons report? How'd you find him at my house? I mean, she just goes off trying to figure it out. So this is going to be an interesting to see exactly what Rick is up to and why he has this chick Hayden, if that's her real name, playing. All the documents have been falsified. So now Hayden's going to be take all the birth certificates, wedding certificates, missing reports, all that stuff Rick has got falsified. So that's going to be interesting on that. But I can't talk to you two about it because you haven't seen it yet. So next week I'll get your input on what happens about that and this week. Another thing, that show is always up to something. Always up to something. So Morgan and Kiki are conspiring to get Avery away from Michael because Michael, well, Corinthos Quartermain, has Avery, he's renamed to AJ, which is weird because that's his dad's name and that's not a girl's name. Oh my goodness.
Sorry.
Bless you.
Excuse me.
Oh Lord.
Thank
Lord,
you.
That scared me to death. I have headphones on and that just, oh, okay. I tried to
mute the phone, but I couldn't get there.
Don't you hate that. But anyway, to try to make, people think that Michael's crazy or something, they've replaced Michael's allergy drugs with real drugs. So that happened today. And so now Michael's probably going to start acting weird. And Kiki's like, oh, I really don't want anything to happen to Avery. And Morgan's like, I'll make sure that nothing happens to Avery, but we'll show that he's not fit to raise AJ, which is so weird to hear him say that, but Avery. And it's really hard to say Avery because I'm used to Avery over in Young and Restless, so it's getting me all confused. So, yeah, there's a lot going on over there, so I can't wait till you guys get caught up so we can talk about it next week. So get caught up.
I'm almost there.
Okay.
I'm not even close to there, but when the last episode that I was able to watch, like, of course, Spencer was in the hospital and they had just moved him to the Shriners Hospital, and Nicholas was like, bless his heart, still wearing those gray pants, but he was just such a mess.
He's a millionaire, has one pair of pants.
It's true. It's unfortunate and true. But I mean, like, you know, so he's like, he's devastated, and everybody he sees, he's just falling into their arms and crying. And then, like, of course, being the basketball junkie I am, I had the television on one day last week and the TV flipped over to that channel because it was recording. And he was just standing there on the phone with, who was he on the phone with? The girl that works for Michael, what's her name?
Rosalie.
Yeah. And so they're in cahoots, and I never knew that. And I mean, I'm just like, what is, and he's just talking to her, planning all this evil stuff while Spencer's apparently still in the hospital. And I'm like, how can you plan evil stuff when your sweet little baby is in the hospital? I don't get it.
You got business to do.
But I need to have a, Thursday's my day off, so I will have a binge General Hospital day.
Thank you.
On
Please
Friday.
Do. I expect my co-host to know their shit, okay? I'm just kidding. Love you.
Before
we move to Young and the Restless, we don't have any daytime co-hosts. Days of Our Lives co-hosts here. I didn't get Courtney on today to join us, but just two things. Stephen Nichols and Peter Reckel are returning for the series' 50th anniversary. So Bo and Patch will be back, which Patch hasn't been on that show for quite a while. And then also Melissa Archer is out at Days, for those who do not know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So also a big congratulations. Michelle Stafford was cast in a new film called Durant Never Closes. It's one of those Kickstarter campaigns. It's going to have Tom Sizemore in it as the main character, and she will be playing his love interest named Susie. So I'm excited to see how that is, because I love seeing Stafford in different roles. Go ahead. Were you going to say something, Michael?
No, I just heard it kind of pause. Someone went away, but no, it wasn't me.
Oh, okay. Okay, so because we've seen her as Phyllis, we've seen her as Nina, we've seen her as on the Stafford Project, and we've seen her on a Lifetime movie or two, I think, and then now we're going to see her in a feature film, so I'm really happy for her, so congrats. And I gave her congrats, and she said thank you, so thank you from everybody at Talks. Let's move on to Young and the Restless. Okay, Kelly, are you caught up on Young and the Restless?
Yes. Lord have mercy. Yeah.
Thank God. Yes. Okay. Now, Michael, you can go get your nails done or a pedicure, manicure, or something. We'll be right here.
I'll be here.
This is when the rants begin. But anyway, Ghost John Abbott was back today, so welcome back to see. Jerry Douglas was back today to give some advice to Jack. I'm sure he'll be around for a while because Jack's about to have his quote life destroyed by Victor once again. I'm going to get to conspiracies about that in a minute. Also, we welcome back today the beautiful Angel Conwell was back today as Leslie. So she's going to be back involving with the case against Neil Winters, who was driving drunk, not driving, but residing in a car as a passenger with Nikki and swerved the car, who hit Cricket, who lost her baby because of it. So Cricket and her, I can't even think of the adjectives right now for her. She needs
annoying
to,
like, as hell.
I wish she would have been the one. Too bad the baby couldn't have lived and she not. Oh, that's awful. Sorry. No offense, but sorry.
I mean, but like she's a belle, right? So she's real. Yeah. Like she's not going anywhere, like ever.
Not true. They hate the bells.
Ooh.
Yeah. CBS. That's why. Nice. Ed Scott and Kay Alden are not coming back because that's Bill Bell's regime. They don't want them back. They don't like the Bells. So Laura Lee is only there because the writers want her there. She could be gone if they wanted her because she doesn't have job security anymore.
Also today we saw another new face who's going to be involved in this case as well. His name is Winston Mobley, played by Ryan Culp. Garoni. I totally screwed up that name. Sorry. But he's going to be, he's the ADA, and he's got.
Oh, he's hot.
Yes, he is hot. He's very warm, to the eyes. I'm anxious to see. He's described as he's focused and he is overconfident, and he's going to win this and put Neil away. So to add another win to his caseload. So that happened today. Now, this next topic is something that I'm anxious to get David and Kelly's thoughts on, because we've been longtime viewers. I don't know, I can't remember how long you both have watched, but over 30 years ago, we viewers, around 30 years ago, and I think it was in 1985, we found out, the viewers found out, that Ashley really wasn't an Abbott. She was really the son of an affair that Gina had with a guy named Brent Davis. We knew this. It was not a big deal. I mean, it was a big deal, but it's been 30 years. Well, now, according to a new interview with Eileen Davidson, here's something that Victor's working on something, and it's going to be revealed once again that she's not an abbot, and it's part of Victor's plan. It says, word is Y&R is about to dredge up decades-old secret that is in Ashley's closet. Do tell. And Eileen says, when Victor suddenly pulls his fragrance from the market, Ashley thinks he's up to something. From him to go to all that trouble to confiscate her love potion and then give it back just doesn't make sense. Jack thinks Victor's planning an attack Jabot some other way, maybe by using some of Abbott dirty laundry. And then the writer says, and what would that be? And she says, that Ashley really isn't an abbot. There's something we haven't talked about on the show for 30 years, and only Jack and Victor know. Ashley's father wasn't John Abbott. She was a result of her mother's affair with the golf pro guy, Brent Davis, and John died never knowing the truth. And then they say, how would Victor use this? Is this really a potential power keg? And more like a Bic lighter. Revealing this would be saying that the Abbots aren't as honest as they try to promote themselves, that the family is a facade, a sham, and that Ashley has never been, and that she's never told her daughter, Abby, the truth about her grandfather. Victor could use this as a device tactic to get under Abby's skin and turn her against Ashley to create doubt within the Abbots and break them apart. And then the last part says, why would Ashley keep a secret all these years? As Skeleton goes, this isn't a big one. It's not like it was her fault. It's hell if I know, laughs. I'm hoping that the writers tell me that. Look for a Young and Restless to air a juicy 1985 flashback involved with Ashley's true paternity being revealed on April 8th. I guess it's because she loved John so deeply and wanted to think to him of as a father. She's in a weird kind of denial about it. And because John didn't know, it was better that nobody else did either. It's been so long since this was mentioned. That's a surprise to be to the big part of the audience. So, David, what do you think about this? Why? What do you think about this?
Kind of like how Michael feels about General Hospital, I feel about Young and the Restless right now. I love it at the moment, except the whole Scooby-Doo, I Know What You Did Last Summer thing. I like it because only Jack, Jill, Dina, and Ashley knew. And now Victor knows. How did he find out? Is that something pillow talk that him and Ashley talked about? I think Tracy is going to be shocked. I think Abby is definitely going to be shocked. Maybe her head will explode.
And that'd be nice.
Won't have to deal with her anymore. And maybe she'll take Lily with her. I'm hoping, but whatever. And even though I can't stand General Hospital, the thing I like about that writer is he digs into the past to bring people and bring storylines, and that's what Chuck is doing. He's digging into the past. Yes, he's creating this whole Austin thing, and it's so stupid, and yes, he uses Sharon as the big evil for everything, but he's done storylines where he's taken little bits and fragments from the past and used them to tell part of the story, and I like that. It gives Ashley something to do other than sitting in the lab and pouring potion in Stitch's coffee. I like it. I can't wait. The fallout is going to be huge.
I'm gonna keep with you, David. Then I'm gonna go to Kelly. So Kelly, the same questions for you. Now, with the I Know What You Did Last Valentine's Day with Summer storyline, aka Scooby-Doo, and there's all kinds of other hashtags for this hot mess. Now, I will say that a lot happened on Valentine's Day in one town. We had the airplane crash. We had the fire in the apartment. We had the underground crash. And then we had the cabin crew who somebody died. Austin died and then vanished. And then new Kyle pops out of the nowhere, not hurt at all. Anyway, so what are your thoughts about this cabin story, and especially the fact that now we have who we thought was just a contained group of people, now we have broadened it to Stitch, who was redeemed as a good man after that whole early on storyline, and then we have Sharon brought in, who's always the punching bag, as we say, to every storyline. What are your thoughts on this storyline?
It's like we talked about before, you know, like when you feel like you can predict stuff and you know which direction stuff is going in. This storyline has my head in about 8,000 different directions. Because like I legit have no clue who killed him. Mm-hmm. Like, no idea. Because Kyle is acting shady. Like, he, you know, like he could have done something. And then Stitch comes along. I mean, and of course you have Abby and Summer arguing all the time. And, you know, like you see, I mean, like, I know Summer remembers, you know, maybe not killing him or whatever. But, I mean, like, you know, Bear acting weird. And then, I mean, Kevin and Mariah are acting their own kind of weird and being all weird. I don't think there's another good word for it. But now you bring, like, you know, Stitch and Victoria and Sharon into the mix. And it's just like, you know, next thing they're going to say is, like, you know, the big bad wolf came and ate Austin and it's really nobody's fault. And I mean, it's just like, it, I really have no idea which direction this is going to go and who it's going to end up being. But I've been like, on one hand, it's frustrating because, like, I can't figure it out. Like, I have no clue what's going on. But on the other hand, I kind of like it because it's like, you know, it keeps me guessing. Like, what, you know, well, you know, Kyle is acting kind of shady. And he had that towel with Austin's blood on it in the back of his car and blah, blah, blah. You know, but then it's like, I don't know. I think he is using this to get to Summer, but that's just my opinion.
But at the end of the day, do we even care anymore? I mean, it just seems like soaps drag things on forever. If you all recall when Diane was killed, the late Diane played by Maura West, it was a 7-month whodunit. It took forever.
Oh, no.
I don't want to know. Yeah. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Esther did this. Let's move on. I mean,
right.
I just don't even know.
I think the frustrating part about this storyline is a couple things. Number one, whenever they all get in the cabin, we are not leaving until we find out who killed Austin. They say that mm-hmm. every single time.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
they're the worst, like, detective ever. They are so awful. And Kevin works at a police station. And Courtney is a cop. And
oh, I still don't believe that shit.
Not only can they not figure it out, but they jump on the bandwagon to blame somebody else every single time. Oh, my God, look at that. Victor looked over at me. I think he may have killed Austin. Oh, my God, look at that. I think Noah sniffed Austin's hair once. I think he may have stepped on his foot. No. He stepped on his foot. I know he killed him. It's like, you guys suck. That's
exactly.
The
they do. You know, Chuck Pratt, when he went...
mystery.
When he was talking, when Chuck was talking in an interview on, I don't know where, but he was talking about the upcoming Valentine's Day, February sweeps. He said there was going to be a killer storyline that's just going to just really grab the attention of the audience. And we're
he wasn't
still,
wrong. It's killing us. Watch
exactly.
It.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah, it's grabbed our attention because we can't get away from it.
Exactly.
It's grabbed my attention because I can't fast forward.
Exactly. Now let me just get your opinion, because we haven't talked since this character or recast has joined. David, what are your thoughts on new Kyle since we've had four?
Well, new Kyle is Australian, and we all know how I love when Australians play Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a cute, tiny, tight butt, which they like to show. Because Stitch has a really big butt, and they like to show that. And then they have, like, the big butt and the little butt. It makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
As far as acting, I think he's doing a good job. He physically mm-hmm. looks like Jack.
Yeah.
He looks like an Abbott. Mm-hmm. So
they
far,
de-aged,
I can't
they really, de-aged him as well.
Yeah, I can't really say if I like him or not, because I haven't seen him. He's in a storyline I don't like, so I can't say that I like him right now.
Yeah.
If he was
but
in story, if he came in before all of this,
mm-hmm.
maybe. But
yeah. But it's hard to buy him as what the previous Kyle was involved. The previous Kyle was, you know, not just physicality, because the other Kyle was tall and long hair and stuff. But the other Kyle was a very big businessman, very serious about, you know, going to New York to head up this and, you know, doing, you know, working for Newman, et cetera. And this Kyle just seems like he's a very young, like Mariah's age type, you know. So it's just kind of hard to buy. But again, I guess we're supposed to just forget about them when they recast people. Another question. Oh, go ahead, Kelly.
No, it's just, I mean, like, all the recast, I mean, like, that recast specifically, when they, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I like him. I think he's adorable, and, you know, I don't mind him one bit. I think they've, you know, they could have done worse with that recast, and obviously with other recasts, they have done worse, and I won't mention any names, New Billy. I'm
even
sorry.
I know that.
He's exactly. Thank you, Michael. He's still New Billy, and as far as I'm concerned, he's terrible Billy. Anyway, I mean, like, he came in that night that they pulled him out of the ravine and they brought him up to that tent, and like Summer was there and Mariah and Kevin, and he didn't, like, he hadn't been to town since Mariah came on the scene, but he like acted like they'd known each other for years, you know, like, yeah. I understand people may have told him about her, but, you know, like, if I was new to a situation, and I thought, you know, or if I like came back around and there was somebody new, I would be like, oh, so you're such and such. But he's just like, oh, they pulled me out of a rock quarry and now here I am and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, and I'm like, hey, you're Mariah and I've known you forever. And I mean, like, some stuff is kind of like, you know, you watch it again and it's like, wait a minute, you know, you're not supposed to be like super familiar with her. You don't know her. You don't know what's going on. But I mean, you know, I don't know. I completely agree with you that on the, you know, like the whole, they're bad detectives because they can't pick, I love them, but they can't, you know, like stick with something solid because it's like, you're exactly right. You know, like every time something different happens, you know, it's kind of like the same, you know, saying like, oh, you know, Phyllis was breathing in the same room as Austin. Maybe it was her that, you know, that hit him in the back of the head. Or maybe Nikki got drunk and went and did it because she's drunk and that's what she does, is hit people with inanimate objects or kills them or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, like, that hadn't even been an idea yet. But if the writers are listening, no, there's an new storyline. Nikki did it. Nikki did it.
Crazy.
Or maybe.
You know, so why couldn't she have done it? But it's just like every episode there's a new suspect and it's getting ridiculous. Pretty soon the ghost of Catherine killed Austin.
But well, if they ever bring the ghost of Catherine back to do anything, that would be the end of that show.
Yeah,
I mean, like, okay, bless her heart. You don't touch her. Leave her alone.
Well, let's move on.
Unless
to...
she's motivating Nikki not to be a drunk ass, which obviously isn't working.
Let's move on to another character assassination that they've done to the show. When Kelly first joined the show, she was played by the one and only beautifully talented Cynthia Waltrose, who we all know as Annie Dutton from Guiding Light. And I loved Kelly. I loved her. I loved her playing Kelly. Then we brought on the very talented and beautiful Katie MacLaine, as I feel was a miscast at first. Now they have written her into this crazy psychotic person. I don't like it. Now, I think I would buy it more if it was Cynthia Waltrose because she's good at playing bad. But Katie, I mean, she's a good actress. I think David Wright, she won 2 Emmys or something like that. I mean, she's good.
Yeah.
She's very good. But they have, I hate when they take a character and write him in a corner and then just ship him off and have him being killed in Baghdad or wherever the hell she's at right now. Of course, we know she's not dead. Yeah, Dubai, yes. That's where everybody goes. Victoria was in Dubai for a while too. But it's just sad to watch Katie's, just like I hate when Sharon's character is written in a way where I feel bad for people who get a script like Katie and Sharon and, well, hell, the whole cast, and gets a script and they got it. You know, they look at it and go, what the fuck is this? Oh, but I need a paycheck, so I got to do it. I mean, it's just like, what is going on? So, David, what are your thoughts about Kelly and Phyllis? I was with Kelly stabbing Phyllis. I was praying was true. But anyway, go ahead, David.
Well, first of all, I have to say, Kelly and Gina have amazing chemistry together. Mm-hmm. I foresaw them as the next Jill and Catherine. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what kind of gold is Jack's dick made out of that he drives these women crazy?
Mm-hmm.
For real. Every woman he's been with, except for Nikki, has been batshit crazy. What is going on with him?
Patty cakes.
I don't like the way that they wrote her. Mm-hmm. They completely veered her off course. The thing that I loved, and I wish it was an ad lib, is when Phyllis said, "What happened to the woman who was grieving over her son's death?" And I'm like, mm-hmm. "Yes, exactly. What happened to that bitch? I loved her."
Exactly.
They made her insane, crazy, desperate for Jack's love. I still don't believe she poisoned herself, but I don't know. I can't make heads or tails of the story. But I do think that the actresses are doing a fantastic job given that they're
exactly.
Yeah. And I think Sharon Case, I'm going to take a breather and we're going to come back to me because I'm feeling some kind of way about that.
We'll come back to you real quick because we're wrapping up shortly. So Kelly, what are your thoughts on Kelly? And well, first, let me just pause for a second to interject something. When Chuck Pratt's writing started, whenever it was, January, February, he pretty much took all the previous scripts and threw them away and has rewritten almost everybody on the show. These people are doing, I think even David even said, it was somebody tweeted that said they're all doing 180s. They're all doing things out of character. And well, not all, most, the majority. And it's just really frustrating. Okay, go ahead, Kelly. What are your thoughts on the Kelly Phyllis Jacks thing?
Well, I mean, you know how I feel about Katie McClain. I think she is an amazing actress. And anybody who can, you know, follow the writing that these people have done and, you know, make it look as good as she does, because she plays crazy really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, super, super good. And so, like, I don't know. I mean, you know, she's dealing with Victor and she's all, I just can't, I mean, like, I can't even stomach it, really. I mean, it aggravates the piss out of me.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, you know what? It has to be Jack Pecker that drives the women crazy, because his face at times, like the faces he makes when he's like, like got his, like sucks his lips in his mouth and he's like huffing and puffing. And I'm just like, how do people find that attractive? I love this show. Don't get me wrong. I've watched it since I was 5 years old. Jack's been on there. Nicholas has been there. Victor, Nikki, I feel like they're parts of my family, which is why I feel like I can talk about them like this. It's so silly. But I mean, like Kelly, I don't know, maybe the, you know, her kid dying was the first, you know, the first big blow. And then her losing Jack when Phyllis came back to town, you know, must have broken her back. If she didn't poison herself, I don't know who did. I don't think Phyllis did it, but I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't, like, I mean, it just blows my mind. It really, like, I'm so confused about that. I don't even know how to feel, because in the moment I'll be like,
let's not
this
forget.
Absolutely aggravates me.
Let's not go forget ahead, Phyllis mowed down two people because she saw Christine kissed Danny and she put a squid in her damn or octopus in her damn bed in a honey. Phyllis ain't
true story. Oh yeah. No, I don't you know, I'm not saying Phyllis isn't to blame. I know Phyllis
right.
is innocent. And you know, like, speaking of Phyllis, like, I like Gina playing her. Mm-hmm. I can't pronounce her last name, so I'm gonna pretend we're on a first name.
So date. Not I can't either. I can't.
Oh, thank you. But I mean, like, I love the way she's portraying her now. But when you think back, you know, when you talk about how, you know, new writers have thrown old scripts out the window, you think about this woman with Ronan, and that's the grossest thing ever, because this is like old lady and fine, super fine Ronan. That would be like kind of weird and gross. And I mean, like, even the funeral scenes with her and Nick, it was like, you know, he still looks like he's still super hot and still feels like he's kind of my age-ish, even though I know he's not. And, you know, and she looks like his very beautiful older sister. And, you know, and I'm just like, I can't, I can't see it. I can't wrap my mind around it. But
I just want to interject real quick that we have to also remember that the beautiful Michelle Stafford is a vixen, and she is portrayed. She portrayed her Phyllis for 20 years, and she had a she has a killer body. She is just she didn't age much. That you know she pretty much looks the same. Now with Gina, she's pretty in her own. She's beautiful in her own way, but she's got a different kind of look to her. So she doesn't have that same, in my opinion. If anybody's listening, it's my opinion, she doesn't have that same sex appeal as Michelle Stafford did, because Michelle, I mean, and even, you know, even over there playing crazy Nina, she's sexy playing crazy, a different type of crazy. But I'm just saying there's a little differences there. I don't want to say the word I'm not really saying the word mannish, but she seems more masculine than
masculine
feminine.
Is the right word, yeah.
I don't want to be, I'm not being mean about
younger.
That.
Gina's younger than Michelle Stafford.
Exactly.
Is she really?
Almost 50. Yeah, Michelle's
I just
up, I think 46, maybe.
Yeah.
I may just be a like a Michelle Stafford super fan girl or whatever, because I watch General Hospital, and like when, you know, when Luke like quote unquote, I'll snap her neck, and he threw her down on the floor. I was like, oh, maybe they'll kill her off General Hospital and take her back to the Young and the Restless. And I was like, oh, like, yeah, I immediately thought it. And then I saw her awake, and I was like, man, like, I love her any way I can get her, because I love Michelle Stafford. But
yeah,
I mean, like, you know, I guess just, sorry, I'm chewing. You know, I don't know.
Let's just go ahead and, you know, everybody's got dinners and stuff, so I'm sure waiting or whatever. But let me just ask real quick, because I haven't talked to David about Justin Hartley yet, but also I want to talk about Adam in general and what's happened and transpired and what's about to happen, as we see in the previews. So David, you know, summarize, what are your thoughts about Justin as the recast for Adam after Michael Muni's long 1-year exit from the show?
I think he's miscast. I think he should be playing Billy Newman or Billy Abbott. When I look at him, I see Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think it's gross. And I know I keep bringing this up, that in real life, Justin is dating Melissa's best friend. I think it's disgusting. It would be like me. It would be like me working with your boyfriend on screen.
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting. Mm-hmm. It's gross.
Yeah.
And I personally think that Justin looks much better. I mean, he looks awesome with me, but he looks better with Amelia than he does with Claire Melissa, because I think Melissa looks like, just like Kelly was saying about Gina and Josh, I think he looks like her younger brother. He doesn't look like he would fit with Chelsea. And then to think that this is one of Sharon's, the love of Sharon's life, she looks like she could be his mom.
Yeah.
And I know that they're very close in age, but they do not look like past lovers.
Mm-hmm.
I will say it again, Scott Elred should have been cast as Adam, period,
mm-hmm.
hands down. He could have done it. He kind of looks like Michael. They could have still had the surgery thing with Gabriel. I just, mm-hmm. I can't warm up to Justin as Adam, because he does not fit the role at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there would be like, Nikki will wake up in a drunken stupor and be like, oh, what's going on? And they'll switch the roles.
But, they did it on Dallas, so why not?
Yeah, and it worked fine. I can't get behind it. I can't.
Yeah.
That character is fit to too many people, and he can't hold his own against Victor. He can't hold his own against Jack. I love him, but no.
Yeah. I'm ready for the reveal, so he could be himself more as Adam, to see the chemistry, because, you know, he's trying to hide behind this Gabriel persona, and you know, we're starting to slowly see that devious side. And I want to see Adam Newman, and I'm tired of seeing Gabriel Bingham. And I want to see.
Maybe
I know Josh.
Age will go away.
Ooh. Exactly. I know Justin can bring it. I mean, he's I've watched him on Mistresses and Passions and other shows, and he's great, and he looks good with the shirt off. I'm ready for some scenes with that too. But I just like the chemistry we were talking about with Kelly and with Gina with other actors, the same thing as with Justin as well. So It was tough. You know, Young Restless took a year to cast Adam. If Adam wasn't a Newman, I don't think this would have been a major thing. But because he is a Newman and he's tied, he just can't be killed off because he's such an integral part, especially to what was going on when Michael Mania exited the show. You know, it'd be different as a recast, but he's a Newman. So it's so important to get someone that's good. And yes, Justin is good, but how's he going to be with chemistry with all these people that he works with? So we'll see. I get, you know, it's still very soon. You know, the reveal is coming soon, I hope, especially to Chelsea. I believe Chelsea finds out first. Well, we already know Jack knows and Sage knows, but it's word's going to travel fast. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Michael, did you fall asleep?
No, I'm here. I was laying down, but I was listening to everything.
Okay, that's fine. So, you were lying down. What's your address again?
Oh, I got GPS. Girl.
I mean, I figure, like, if you why sit down when you can lie down? It's way more.
I mean, really, that's what he said. That's what I'm saying. Okay. anyway, well, I want to wrap up so we can go. I try to keep the shows close to an hour, but it never happens. But let me just get a little goodbye. Any last words of wisdom or thoughts on a soap or anything from everybody? So, Michael, since you haven't spoke for a while, what do you have to say before we leave?
Well, the one thing that I'll put out, it reminded me of when you were talking about recasting Adam, you know, the same thing, how we recast Jason on General Hospital. And I think I'm alone in this thinking, but I want this reveal to take as long as possible. I would be in love with the idea of waiting like a year, maybe 2 years. Like, I love the idea of having this person think he's this whole other character. Like, not only like, ooh, why do I have this chemistry with this actress or this actor? I want us to be so invested in Jake that when it finally happens, we're like, oh my goodness. And soaps don't really do those long reveals anymore because, you know, it's not the generation that does that. So I love, it reminds me of, we knew Robin was alive, but no one else did. And so it kind of made it cool to watch because, like, ooh, what's going to be when Robin comes back? Or, mm-hmm. oh, now they showed Robin, you know, locked up in her cell. So I really like, as a viewer, like, that we know that he's Jason. But I want this to take time. And I know that I'm probably alone in that, but it would make my day if they dragged this out.
And I'll just interject that apparently they've taken 40 years to reveal what is about to happen with Luke.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, exactly. Maybe not 40. Two is good. Give me one.
The genre won't last that long. I do.
We have to believe.
Well, I want to believe, honey, but the numbers aren't, the numbers are fluctuating. And anyway, that's another whole topic. But I do like that because, you know what, since I didn't really, when I watched General Hospital, when I started, when The One Life Delivers joined, I knew who Jason Morgan was, played by Steve Burton. Sorry. So I kind of like fast forward through him because I didn't like the character. I'm enjoying Billy Miller as Jake because
for me too.
Fresh and new, and I don't know the history. I don't know any of that. So to me, he's a new character, and I enjoy his interactions with the three girls, the Liz, Carly, and Sam. So I'm enjoying that. I just don't want him to go get a job with Julian and all that stuff. But anyway, we'll talk about that next week. Kelly, well, no, I'll leave you for last because you're long-winded. David, any last minute thoughts?
I guess my final thought is I want to be a fly in the wall every time Sharon Case gets a script.
Oh, me too.
Like, Jesus Christ, they made me a freaking psycho again? I thought it was cool when they made her bipolar. That's the reason why she burned down the house. I was like, I don't know if bipolar people do that, but okay, I'll go with it.
I never have.
I thought it was pretty cool. You know, mm-hmm. and I was waiting for the storyline, and then, oh, she was bipolar, and she switched Summer's DNA. I was like, you can only use that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, she was in a bad mood, so she trashed Nick on video. That's why she killed Austin. I think I'm tired of the bipolar being an excuse for bad behavior.
Exactly. It's an insult to those of us who have it.
Yep. It's a disservice to the disease, and it's a disservice to poor Sharon Case, who will probably, you know what, they should just give her an Emmy for dealing with the bullshit that she has to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
exactly.
I just think it's kind of disgusting that they keep using this as an excuse. And mm-hmm. I will agree with Summer. You know, Sharon, every time something bad happens in your life, oh, I was not in a good place. Hello, these writers wrote that line. Why are they not listening to the crowd? I don't get it, but
exactly.
That's my rant on Sharon, but
God bless them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just,
I love it. I would love for Sharon to just be like, I love how I talk about her. Like she's real and in the next city over, and we're reading about all this stuff in like the newspaper. But I would love for her to just be real one day and be like, you know what? When I switched those DNA test results, it was just a bitch move because I just wanted to be a bitch, and that's how I wanted to do it. You know, like, why are you trying to steal Austin's computer? Maybe because I'm a little bit paranoid about what you're going to see on it because I'm trashing your father. I mean, just like, I love it. I love it because I'm so invested. But I mean, like, I wish it's like, I was talking to my mom. I'm sorry. Here's my finale. I was talking to my mom earlier. We were talking about all these shows. And I said, you know, in real life, if you had a conflict of interest with someone and you were in a position of authority, you would be made basically to delegate that to another person. So like in real life, you know, Cricket and Paul wouldn't be able to be on that witch hunt for Nikki because they both have a direct conflict of interest. She's the mother of Paul's child. She was driving the car that hit Christine, even though it, you know, technically wasn't her fault. And I love how soap opera reality is so different from like normal real life. And so, you know, I wish it would be like real life one day, just for like, you know, like Sharon, what were you thinking? You know what? Maybe I didn't want to think for a minute. Maybe I was just going to be a jerk. You know, I don't know. And,
well,
and
I
let
just
me tell you what else. This whole okay. I'm nope. This whole Hillary thing, she's being a crazy bitch, and I can't. I am truly interested to see.
Well,
what
it's
that
fake
going.
Though. She already kind of revealed that it's fake because she wants Neil and them to get back together.
Right, but I mean, like she's still all like hovering and like. Like today she was at the police station listening to him talk to, and I know she, you know, she cares about him and she wants them all to be okay. And that's probably why she's really doing it, but she's really doing a good job of playing it off.
Yeah.
Total ass. So
yeah,
I love that.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I appreciate all of you coming and spending an hour and 18 minutes with us, and also all the listeners continuing to listen to the shows. Just a little promo for my On Air with Douglas show. I have a new interview coming up, and it's this Saturday. And if you are a truly outrageous fan of Jem and the Holograms, you don't want to miss this, because I met the voice of Jem at a Comic-Con down here in Florida, Samantha Newark, and I said, hey, would you want to be on my show? And she's like, yes. And let's give away DVDs and t-shirts. And I was like, yeah. So I was oh my God. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. Cause I'm a huge fan. So this Saturday, and I normally don't do shows on Saturday, but this is when she was available. Saturday at 5 PM Eastern, Samantha Newark will be on, and we will be talking about Jem, her career starting out in voiceover work. Cause she's done a lot of voiceover work, but Jem is her, you know, we know her from Jem, and also her cameo in the upcoming October release of Jem and the Holograms, the movie. Which, and then we're also giving away the DVD season one And we're also giving away t-shirts. So a couple DVDs and a couple t-shirts. So don't miss it. You have to listen live to win. So, and there'll be trivia questions. That's why you have to listen to win. And those will be sent out to you the next day. So don't want to miss that. And also go to onairwithdouglas.com for more. RuPaul Drag Race fans, I'm working on getting Tempest Du Jour and Sasha Bell on. And which are the first two that have been kicked off, and Trixie Mattel, who was just voted off last night. So I'm going to be working on getting them on ASAP. So with that being said, thank you, everybody. Thank you, David, for coming and spending time with the family under the umbrella. Thank you, Kelly, for always sharing your opinion. And Michael, thank you for being patient when we talk about the CBS shows.
You're welcome.
All right, everybody. Talk to you very soon. And one last thing, you can follow David's show, The Spilled Tea, at The Spilled Tea, and you can follow him. He's fun to listen to when he does his tweets. Well, he's a twit too, but anyway, you can follow him at DOQUINN76. You can follow the beautiful Kelly Beth at KELLIBETH, Kelly Beth, and you can follow Michael at MPGRASSO. He's the ass of our show.
Why don't I get to be beautiful?
Oh, but you are beautiful.
Okay. Because you didn't say it.
Sorry, I'm being sexist tonight. It's only the girls, the true girls. No, you guys are all beautiful. And then, of course, you can follow me at one of my 700 Twitter accounts. Well, you know, I got to stick with the bipolar. You got to have multiple identities and multiple accounts. But you can follow me, my public account, at In Bed With Red. You can follow my personal account at DouglasML1974, and you can follow the show at Talk Soap and On Air With Doug. I don't know what other ones I have, but anyway, enjoy the show, and we'll be back as soon as possible with another dish in Talk Soap. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Talk Soap. And don't forget, the first and only rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap.